Well, good evening, everyone. Nice to see you out this evening. If you have your Bibles, I'd have you turn to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3, and I'll read the first 8 verses. Titus chapter 3, remind them to be subject to rulers and authority, to obey and to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice, in envy, hateful, and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord. We thank you again for thy precious word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that speaks to our hearts through the word of God. We thank you, Father, for this place. We thank you for the fellowship that we have. And Lord, I pray tonight that just be, as we look at this passage, Father, that will be an encouragement and a blessing and a building up, Father, of the saints here. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So I've entitled this, I put two titles on it. One is Living in a Pagan World and our responsibility there. The second thing that I just put as a possible title is Beautify the Message. Beautify the Message. In chapter 1 of Titus, and you see that Titus was left behind in Crete, and he was told to, establish the church there. And what he did, if you look at chapter 1 just for a moment, he was asked to appoint elders there. And verse 5, chapter 1, for this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking and appoint elders in every city as I commanded you. And, I can tell you that an assembly is only as strong as the elders that are appointed by God. Now, I'm looking at people here in this room tonight, and, one of the issues that we've had in this chapel is people willing to be elders. It's a difficult task, but I think there are many people that they don't see because they look at the qualification. This is my experience. You look at the qualifications and say, well, I don't qualify. I mean, who would? But that's not the point. Like, you got to look at all scripture. Like, you look at this, well, I don't qualify here. Blameless and the husband of one wife and having faithful children and not accused of dissipation or insubordination, the kids, for, you go on and you go, well, I mean, how can I attain that? That's not the point. The point is, first of all, willing. Willing. And I just want to encourage, because we've got a great, you know, I think what this assembly has, from my perspective, is a tremendous future. And we want to see elders raised up here. And we need to pray about that. I was an elder at 35 years old, I think. So, you know what I'm saying? Let the Lord speak to you. And I know the women here. They're praying for that too, that men would take responsibility. It's a big job. There's no doubt about that. But Paul said, like, I'm leaving you behind. Set it in order. And you cannot set a church in order without leadership. Can't do it. You can't do it. And it's not one man. That's not biblical, that it be one man. Elders, plural. And in chapter 2, he talks about the qualities within the church. And so here Paul speaks to men, young men, older men, young women, older women, and how we should behave in the assembly, but not only in the assembly, out there. And this is really brought forth in chapter 3. And I want to break it down into four things that I see here. Most of them is to be reminded, okay? Because it starts with that in chapter 3. Remind them, remind them. What do we need to be reminded? Well, first of all, now it's talking about government, okay? Look what it says. Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. This is not easy, and I'll tell you why, especially in this day and age. You know, with social media, and you want to stay up on politics or whatever, it's very, very easy to do today, you know? But what's our responsibility here? The responsibility is not to change the world, okay? If you've ever talked to me one-on-one, wouldn't take you long to find out I am very, very conservative, okay? Very. Politically. But I'm not trying to change the world. I probably feel like it. If you ask me, am I a happy puppy living in Canada? The way things are? Nah, I'm not. Not really. But what is my job here? What's my duty? And it's telling us here, we get the answer. Like, Tony, remember here when this was written, okay? Remember when Corinthians was written. Remember at Ephesus. Remember these epistles that are written. I mean, folks, these people lived in paganism 101. Every one of these, like Corinthians, you read it and you almost blush at what was going on in Corinth. And Paul wasn't saying, hey, Titus, go change the government. Like, you never hear that. Paul never said, you know, when he was in front of, you remember when he was up in front of Agrippa? And remember when he was in jail there for a couple of years? And they didn't know what to do with him. And he got a chance to get in front of rulers and, you know, Festus and Agrippa. And you know what Paul was after? You know what, Agrippa? I think we ought to just, like, I don't like the way you're treating us Christians. No, it wasn't any of that. It was Agrippa, man, oh man, I wish you were saved. I wish you would come to know the Lord. But it had nothing to do with, let's get rid of Caesar. Let's get rid of Constantine. No, it wasn't any of that. And I think you and I need to be very, very careful about that. And again, like I say, you know, I've told you my background. I come from a political, like my dad spent his life in politics. And I grew up under that. My dad was a hero. And I mean, from my earliest recollections, my dad was a huge cog in the wheel. To the point that even the Prime Minister of Canada had supper at my house in Timmins, Ontario. Trudeau Senior, not Junior. You know, I'm just saying, guys, what is our duty? Our duty is to beautify the message. And we're not going to do that if we're angry all the time, if we're telling anyone that will listen that we ought to have a change in government or whatever. And you know what? I read my Bible and I don't see things getting better, do you? Like, if some new leader in Canada comes in, if it's better at all, it's going to be very temporary. Because you know what I see, guys? In my 70-something years of living on this planet, things are getting worse. Things are going downhill, just the way the Bible says, right? In the last days, what will happen? And we're already in the last days, but perilous times will come. It's not going to get better. If I scream in the middle of the street, in downtown Sudbury, let's change. That's not our message. And that turns people off. You know, let's not blur the priority, Christian. Our priority is to win people to Jesus Christ. That's why God left you behind. He didn't call you out of the world. He hasn't called you out. Well, he'll call you out. It may be today. Might call all of us out today. If that's the case, hey, hallelujah. But he's told us, you know what? You go, Tony Martin, and you represent me. Go and represent me in this world. Not by screaming at the government or city hall or whatever. I want my rights and, you know, we see the debauchery. We see what's happening. But again, let's not forget it's living in a pagan world. We can't become enemies, okay? We cannot become enemies of those we seek to win. Don't become an enemy. You might have people on your street. They don't think at all like you. You might have people in your family. They don't think at all like you. You might have people at work. They don't think at all like you. And you might have people around you. They don't think at all like you. They don't see it. And you know what is a powerful gospel, my friend? is a changed life. That's powerful. You know what? A lot of people, they never hear a message, but they see, they watch. It's amazing to me, people. You know, again, I just had so much experience of people that I thought some people that got saved, they were the last person I thought that would get saved. I'm sure I know they said it about me. I was in Timmins this morning preaching, and I got saved in a guy's place in Timmins that was there this morning. He's an elder in Timmins. And somebody said to him, a month before I got saved in 1982 in October, said to Ralph Carr, you need to go see Tony Martin. What? Seriously? Ralph said, there's no way that guy is interested. Because guys, I couldn't give you a sentence without swearing. It was just part of my vocabulary. I cleaned it up a bit in the office, but generally, like Ralph, Tony Martin? Guys, you might be rubbing shoulders with people today, and you have no idea what they're thinking when they go to bed at night. And as a matter of fact, let me add this. If you're living beside somebody, or you are going to work beside somebody, or you're going into someone's home, or whatever it is, you know what? There ain't no coincidences. You know what? God has made it known to them that you're a Christian. So what's our job here? Beautify the message, guys. Even if you don't say one word, let your light, like Andrew said it the other night, and I haven't forgotten it because it spoke to me about letting my light shine before men. Tony Martin, you be the salt. And don't get into politics. Don't start yapping at people because you don't like them because of their views on this planet. Let God do that. Let God do that. That's not, he left us behind to be ambassadors for him. So it says here, remind them, speaking of Titus, to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work. Be ready, guys, for every good work. Don't, you know, I did this morning, and I did this last week, or when did I speak? I can't remember. Anywho, I did the butts of the Bible, but here's a butt, okay? Don't be a pain in the butt in society. Do you know what I mean? Can I say that from the pulpit? Do you know what I mean by that? Don't be. And I say that to me, right? Tony, don't be like sandpaper around people. You just grate them the wrong way. That's not what our call is. And that's what he's saying here. Be subject to rulers and authorities, and to be ready for every good work, and to speak evil of no one. Trudeau? No, even him. Don't say anything bad about him. Ooh. Okay. Anyway. Get my drift? Get where I'm coming from? Okay. Second point. Again, a reminder. Okay, it says this. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Paul loves lists. I don't know if you've noticed that when you read the epistles. Paul loves lists, you know? I like them too. He's saying, listen, let me remind you of your former condition. Now, let me give you something in the scriptures, that a comparison, okay? Jairus' daughter, remember that? Mark's Gospel chapter 5. It's not the only place it's found, but Mark's Gospel chapter 5, Jairus' daughter. How old was she when she died? Somebody, tell me for a double bubble gum?
12.
Eh? Was it 12? I think so. I owe you a bubble gum, Steve. Okay? She was 12 years old. Okay? John chapter 11. Lazarus. How old? Somebody? Bubblegum. Come on. I don't know how old he was. If you do, where did you find that? But he was older, guaranteed older than Jairus' daughter. True or false? Of course he was. He died, and Jairus' daughter died. What's the difference? Well, Lazarus stunketh already. That's why they told him. The sister said, hey, don't open up the tomb. He'd been in there 4 days. He was already starting. The decay was in. And it would stinketh already. Don't go open it. But he was dead. But so was Jairus' daughter was dead too. 12 years old. What's the difference? And that's what it says here, okay? We ourselves, like you might have got saved and you were brought up in a Christian home. I remember Tony Jr., I sent him to Bible College, okay? And anyway, it was kind of funny because they, you know, when you get there, you know, you don't know anybody or anything like that. And, you know, you're looking at your future and all this and that. But he said, you know, there were some guys there. As a matter of fact, I met one of the guys. I'm just trying to think of his first name now. He came from L.A. and he was at Emmaus Bible College in 1994 or 5. I can't remember what year that exactly, but I met him. I mean, he was on the same floor as Tony Jr. And this guy, it would send your hairs on the back of your head would stand straight up when you heard his testimony of he was in a gang in Los Angeles and what he didn't go through, unbelievable. What God saved that man from. So here's Tony Jr. He's at Bible College. He's first year. And he said, Dad, like I'm sitting in the room with him. I don't have a testimony. I don't have a testimony. I said, sure you do. Sure you do. Because I don't care if you were brought up in a Christian home. I don't care if you were out in the streets of L.A., and you were a gang member, and you were higher than two kites most of your life. And we're dead without Christ. I don't care if you're in a Christian home. There's some kids here today, I almost guarantee it, and they're dead in their trespasses and sins, and yet they don't even know it. But the point is, guys, when you look at this, it says, for we ourselves were also once foolish. Look, go there, because we talked about this. They're the greatest buts in the Bible. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. It's just good to read, because it just tells us. And you know what the Greek word for all is? All. It's all of us. It's not, well, Tony, like Ralph Carr, why would I go talk to Tony Martin? He's an idiot. He's a pagan. He's a bum. But God, what he didn't know is God was working on me. And every night, and I'm not kidding you guys, for a year, every night I go to bed and go, what happens to you, Tony, when you die? Who knew that? Nobody knew. Rosie didn't know. No one knew. I didn't share that with anybody. Do you think for a minute that you're working in a place that somebody's beside you? You think for 1 minute that is just by chance? That's not by chance at all. God's working, my friend. And we're so busy we're so not in tune with that. We're so focused on our lives and moi, instead of God, show me. And you know what? You might not get to say too much. But you remember. That's what Paul's saying here. You remember. Let's read it. Ephesians. Just go there, please, and we'll just look there for a second, because I love these lists. Here's one. And you, 2:1. Ephesians 2:1. And you. Me. He made alive. Who were dead. How can you be more dead than dead? You can't. True or false? You just can't. That's what Paul's saying. You once were what? Dead. You once were everyone. You walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desire of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others, just as other people. So what's the point? Well, the point is this: remember your former condition. That's who you were. Don't forget that you were once there. And if you got saved in a Christian home at a young age, you hang on to Titus chapter 3 and Titus 3 and 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he has saved us, according to the washing and the regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Just remember that. It's important to remember, you know, because sometimes you think, like Tony Jr., Dad, I don't have a testimony. Sure you do. Sure you do. You were dead. And you were made alive by Christ. Dead, depraved, diabolical, disobedient, doomed. 5 D's right there that we read. Let me show you another list. It's found in Ephesians chapter 4, unless I need to convince you. Here's the old man. Look at verse 17. This is I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the Gentiles do. Okay, remember, we're talking about pagans. They don't have what you have. Go down the street. They don't have what you have. They don't belong to the Lord. They, as a matter of fact, they're under the sway of the evil one. They don't even know it. They would tell you, I'm free, man. I can do whatever I want. I don't want Christianity. I'm going to be bound to Christianity. I don't want that. I want to be free. You're not free. They're a slave. They're a slave to sin. And we were once slaves to sin. You had to can't help it. That's what depravity is. You know what depravity is, guys? It's twisted. Our DNA was twisted. And all of the things that you and I did before we got saved, you know what? You were waving filthy rags at God. That's what people do. That's what, you know what turned Jesus off, guys? You know what turned him off? Hookers? No. Religious people. That's what turned Jesus off. You know what? I had people tell me that. I'm perfectly fine, thank you. Like, get out of my grill. Get out of my face, Martin. What do you know? I'm good. I'm a good person. I'm all right. I'm gonna be measured on the bell curve. You kids, you don't even know what bell curve is, do you? Or do you? Someone tell me. Do you know what that is? That's a saying, you understand? Oh, good. Okay? I like the bell curve because that saved my bacon a few times in school, okay? Sometimes it put me on the bottom end of it too. Anyway, remember your former condition. Look what it says. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardening of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to licentiousness to work all uncleanness and with greediness. But you have not learned so. Have not so learned in Christ. Old man, hopelessly confused, mind full of darkness, far from the life of God. You had a closed mind, not an open mind, a closed mind. You had a hardened heart, hopelessly confused. That's the world. So guys, remember that. You were once there. You were once there. Okay, that helps. If I know that, that helps me. If I'm reminded about that, that helps me. I look at people, instead of judging them, I'm going to feel sorry for them because they don't have what I got. Their minds, they can't even see it unless God opens their minds, because it says that their minds are darkened. And that to those who oppose you, you must gently instruct, in hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to the knowledge of the truth. Why? Guys, can't you see? No, they're blind. You can't see it. Now, they got no excuse, because it tells us right here in Ephesians 4, they're willfully blind. They're willfully blind. But our job is not to dislike them. Our job is to win them. Win them. You know, today, you and I live in a different world. I never thought I would ever live in a society. I remember my brother, who's a psychologist, not a Christian, but he told me in 1988, I actually wrote it in my Bible. He said in 1988, he said, Tony, I'm telling you something that's coming down the pike that I see coming. And he said, I'm not a prophet, he said. I knew that. And he's still not even a believer. As a matter of fact, from what I see of him, he opposes me at every time he gets a chance. You know what he said? He said, there's an agenda coming. It's called the gay agenda. And he said, you watch how powerful they become. That was in 1988. My brother, a secular pagan, told me that. I look at the world today, and we don't even blush. We don't even blush. Nothing bothers us anymore. Because we live in it. It's right among, it surrounds us. And it's almost like, you know, like the Bible says in the Old Testament, whatever is true will be false. Whatever is right will be considered wrong. Hello? That's the world that you and I live in. We live in a, guys, if you think Corinth was bad, we live in Sudbury. Bad. Bad. It's all around us. What's our responsibility? Well, remember, Tony, but for the grace of God, but for the grace of God. God, all I can say is, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free. Why me? Out of all my family, all my brothers, big family. And as far as I know, I've got a sister who's a believer. 11 kids. 8 living. Why me? Why me? I don't know. I just say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Anyway, okay, two more points and we'll finish on time, okay? So remember my salvation. Okay, that's the third one. Remember my salvation, who saved a wretch like me. That's what it's saying in Titus chapter 3 and 5 and 6. Okay? 5 and 6. And then the last one, don't forget our mission. Okay? And that's found in, this is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm. There's this verse 8, constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. Notice the order there. Look at verse 8 in your Bible. Look at the order. Be careful, those who have believed in God, us, then good works. Good works ain't getting you to heaven. We know that. That's against the gospel, right? That can trip a lot of people up because they want to add to the gospel. Paul spent a lot of time in the epistles talking about that, but especially in Galatians. Guys, don't get into legalism. That's taking away Christ. You're not adding anything. You can't add to Jesus. That's one of the things of Hebrews. I love studying Hebrews because I used to be, as a kid, not so much as I got older, but I was a religious kid. My dad was religious, so I was all in religion. But guys, I'm telling you, don't forget our mission. Don't get sidetracked. Careful to maintain good works. This is a trustworthy statement. It's almost like Paul is saying here, I'm doubling down on this. Be careful to maintain good works. And guys, let me encourage you tonight as we close. Do a little inspection. I want you in your mind's eye, just for this closing thoughts, think of people you've been put in around. Young people, think of people you've been put around. And friends, neighbors, family, co-workers, whatever it is, I want you to think about those people right now. I want you to pray that God would show you exactly the way you should behave around them. God, show me from thy word. Show me. Is my light shining, or am I a piece of sandpaper that's sort of just irritating the light? You know, sometimes, listen, you can irritate people. I remember one person said to me one time, quit preaching. And you know I talk a lot. I tell you, I had never talked to that person about the Lord. To my shame, maybe. And he said, quit preaching at me. I didn't preach. But guys, remember, beautify the message. Beautify the message. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you, God. Thank you for this day. Thank you for everyone that's here tonight, Father. Every individual that's here. Lord, would you speak to us? And remind us, Father, of these things. Why did you leave us here, Father? Father, that we would take this mission of ours, this mission of ours seriously, oh God. And Lord, if we've made mistakes in the past, and I know I have, and others here probably have, well, Lord, we thank you that you are the God of second chances, third, and who said it the other night? I think it was Steve here. How many millions did you say, Steve? What did I pray? 5 million, whatever it is. Okay, chances. Thank you, Lord, that we can start over again. I pray, Father, tonight for each and every one. Father, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.